You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's get into our review of Steps to Christ, Chapter 10, A Knowledge of God. Now, this is a profound exploration of the Christian journey towards deeper spiritual understanding and connection with God, like we said the other day. And so we are delving into the essence of personal growth in faith, and we're also looking at the significance of communion with the divine. So I'm looking forward to this conversation that we're going to be having with Pastor Kakoma as he takes us through this chapter and highlights some of the key lessons that we get from the chapter. My pastor, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning to our listeners, and good morning to you, Bongi.
Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. I'm glad that we're able to connect today, and I'm looking forward to getting into this conversation with you. Would you please open for us in prayer, and then maybe take us straight into a summary of what this chapter is all about?
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the opportunities that you've given us. We ask that may your Holy Spirit be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So the Steps to Christ is one of my favorite books, and with God is just a very interesting and rich chapter that focuses on the fact that the Word of God is the foundation of our faith. And it is the source of our strength, and it is the guide for our journey. It is a lamp that shines in our darkest life. And as it shines in our darkest moments in life, it brings light to our path, and it leads us back to Christ. Without the Word of God, you and I would not know how to navigate some of the challenges of life. We would actually be relying on our wisdom and our understanding. But with the Word of God, we have the wisdom of the ages. We have the guidance of the Almighty, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there is no communioning with God without the Word of God.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so the latter part of the chapter focuses on the transformative power of Scripture, which is something I'm very passionate about, the transformation of the human being. And so it encourages readers to immerse themselves in the Bible, as it is a crucial source of wisdom and guidance for living a righteous life. Can you speak to us a little bit about that transformation and how the Bible itself works to change us?
You see, the Scriptures is the Bible, is the Word of God, is the foundation of our faith.
Yeah.
Paul says, without faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Without the Word of God, you cannot grow in your faith. So at the very basic foundation of us having a relationship and growing our relationship.
Hello, Pastor? Oh, looking like we're having...
Apologies for that.
Okay, we've got you back.
No. Yeah, somebody was trying to call me. Apologies for that.
All right, no worries.
So when it comes to the Word of God, we have the actual foundation for our faith. So when we are studying God's Word, it helps us to grow our faith, because the more you study the Scriptures, the more your life begins to change. The less you study the Scriptures, the more your life also changes towards the negative aspect. And some of the other things that you find, I mentioned earlier on, that the Word of God is a source of our strength. You see, when we go through certain situations in life, life-challenging situations, like somebody who is struggling to have a child, and you go through the Scriptures and read about how Sarah got a child at 90, you read about how Hannah prayed for a long period of time without receiving her child, and eventually God comes through in that situation. God's Word becomes a source of strength to a woman who is praying and asking God to bless her with a child. It becomes a source of strength to a man who is praying that God should bless him in that regard. And so many other situations and many other examples that I can highlight from scripture. When we read them, we can relate them to salvation and see how God came through for those in the times of scripture. And we can also apply it to our own situation, that indeed God can come through for us. The other aspect is the fact that I highlighted the fact that God, the Word of God, is the guide for our journey.
Right.
You see, there are many times in life when we get confused about what we should do in certain situations and circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Confused about our gender identity. Mm-hmm. We're confused about what we should pursue economically. We're confused about how should we relate to each other.
Yeah.
We're confused about those people that have.
Pastor, are you still there?
Those that have done the. Yes, I'm still there. Sorry, I'm just trying.
Oh, we're having some issues with our network here today.
But God's word.
All right.
Yes.
Our network keeps cutting you off, but all right. Please continue. I think we've got you back now.
Sorry, there are people that are trying to call me. So God's word guides us through the journeys and through all these confusions that we go through in our life. Because without God's word, you and I would not be relating to those that have offended us and injured us. We know the traditional ways of doing things as individuals, the way, where we come from in our backgrounds. But it is God's word that gives us a certain different guide to handle things, to handle matters differently, to handle emotional issues differently, to handle relationships differently, and to handle all these other things in a much more differently.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I had mentioned the fact that God's word brings light to our path and leads us to Christ. The word of God's intention and purpose is not to control and manipulate us, but it is to help us to get into a relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And what scripture it helps us.
Mm-hmm.
What scripture does to us is that it helps us to give us light in everything that we pursue in our lives. When we are confused and when we are mirrored by many things, this is what God's word does to us. And just a matter of reflection, from a personal perspective, God's word has transformed me as an individual.
Mm.
I remember a few years ago, I was struggling with suicidal ideation in my own life. I was just coming out of addiction, struggling with addictions. And by the study of God's word, the impact that it brought in my life, it was not a sudden impact.
Mm-hmm.
It was a step-by-step transformation.
Wow.
Such that within a year, those friends that I hanged out with drinking and smoking could not recognize how a person who was hooked to drugs could be transformed by in such a short period of time. And so God's word, through my own personal experience, has impacted me. There was no way I was going to stop drinking that black bottle. There was no way I was going to stop my life of fun and moving on the highway of excitement. There was no way I was going to leave the clubs to come and sit down and listen to some guy in a jacket preach, except the power of the word of God.
Amen.
That is what brings transformation. When I look back, and when those that knew me look back, they can also testify of the fact that God's word has got power. And so I ate that as we talk about transformation, God's word can help us in many, especially in our daily lives, because my transformation was not all of a sudden. It was a gradual process. But daily studying of the word of God, the transformation came, and it was, and I'm not perfect, but I'm better than the way I was, and I'm happy with where I am, and I think my life is moving in a better trajectory as a result of God's word.
Powerful,
yeah.
Powerful. Thank you so much for that personal testimony. And it's so beautiful to hear stories like that because, like I've been saying for a while now, and it's been a journey of mine this year in particular, that we've spent too much time reading the Bible and learning all these stories, but not allowing it to change us. It's not doing anything in our lives. And to hear stories of people whose lives have actually been changed, people whose trajectory of life has been moved towards a more positive direction, all of those things are so encouraging to realize and to know that, you know what, God can also do it in me. I mustn't just read the Bible like some kind of a textbook, but I must also open myself up to the Spirit so that I can allow him to actually change me and make me a better person. And I also love the idea of looking at your own progress, not comparing yourself to the next person, but to look at where you were and say, you know what? I'm glad I'm not who I was back then. I'm still on a journey. I'm not perfect, but I'm better than I used to be. That's what it's all about. I'm so encouraged by that. And I'm so inspired by that story. Thank you so much for that. So let's talk about living a Christ-centered life, right? Because the chapter concludes by urging believers to live a Christ-centered life. And this involves embodying Christ's teachings in everyday actions and making a conscious effort to reflect his love and compassion to others. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and how Christ's actions can be reflected in our everyday activities?
thank you very much. I'd like to start with the scripture, Matthew 16:24-26, mm-hmm. where Christ actually says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. the emphasis that you get from the chapter is that as followers of Christ, we are called to leave behind our old lives and embrace the new life in him. Mm-hmm. You see, there's always a tendency to brag about where we're coming from, to brag about being Zulu, to brag about being Shona, to brag about being Bemba, to brag about being Tonga. There's an emphasis about being proud of what we have achieved, who we are and where we are. Mm-hmm. But what emphasizes is that we must leave all these things and embrace and follow him through in our lives. Now, denying yourself means basically that you're living a Christ-centered life, meaning that all the other things that you have done, all the things in the past, including your stature, including your academics, including your social status in life, are nothing in comparison with what Christ has done for your life. And so you take up what Christ, it means you are putting God's will above our understanding and surrendering yourself to his plans. Mm. Taking up the cross and following Christ, embracing the challenges and the difficulties that come with following Jesus. Because, you know, following Jesus is not the easiest. I remember when I was following Christ, I thought it was going to be a smooth ride. Everyone was going to be excited. Yeah. But I suddenly realized that my mother, who was comfortable with me coming at one, was now not very comfortable with me doing certain things at certain times. So it has its own pitfalls. Mm-hmm. And even with the pitfalls, you and I must prioritize our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. We must make time for prayer. We must make time for Bible study. And we must make time to worship him. And we must seek also others. We must look for opportunities to serve and to bless others. Christianity is not for us to continuously eat and study the word of God. In fact, she makes a statement around the fact that, look, if you continue, he who reads and prays will soon cease to pray if he's not sharing what he's reading and praying for. Mm. And so it's a call for you and I to bless others. It's a call for you and I to look for opportunities and serve all the other individuals that are out there.
Sure, that's powerful. That's beautiful. Any final words, Pastor, as we wrap up the chapter for today?
I'd like to wrap up with a call for you and I that we need to commune with Christ. Mm. You see, we thrive in the idea of belonging to certain cliques, certain settings in life. We want to commune with the CEO at our workplace. We want to commune with the principal, the head girl, the whoever is in charge and in responsibility. Mm-hmm. But yet God has given us an opportunity to commune with Him. And that opportunity is not communing with some pastor at a low-level conference or some managing Southern Africa, managing Africa, but we are communing with the God of the universe,
Amen.
The creator of life, the originator of life, He who you and I, without Him, cannot live. And so God has given us this opportunity, and He wants you and I to commune with Him. It is my prayer that we'll take time to read the scriptures because they are written for our learning. We'll take time to commune with Him and deny ourselves and follow Him in everything that we do. May God bless you as you meditate upon His word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for your time this morning and for teaching us some of these beautiful lessons that we get from this chapter of Steps to Christ. I do hope that you'll have a wonderful rest of your day and that we'll be able to connect again soon for another conversation. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Family, that was the voice of Pastor Alfred Kakoma speaking to us about a knowledge of God. That's chapter 10 of Steps to Christ. I hope that you were blessed by that. Please do share your thoughts on +27734703520 as he speaks about, sometimes the discomfort that people might feel as the Holy Spirit starts to change you, as the Holy Spirit starts to change your character and mold you more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. It makes me think of the demon-possessed man. You remember that story in Mark chapter 5? And the fact that the community was happy to keep on chaining him, even though he would break the chains, they were fine with that. But you notice that after Jesus delivered him and the witnesses went and told them in the city that, hey, that guy who lives in the tombs has been delivered from the demons. When they came and they saw him dressed and in his right mind, the Bible says they were afraid. They were uncomfortable with that. And that's very interesting to me. I always found that very curious that when he was possessed, when he was at his lowest, when he was possessed by demons, they were not it doesn't sound like they were afraid of him, right? They were there to chain him, to keep on putting chains on him, even though they knew he'd keep breaking them. But now that he's been delivered, that's like, ooh, don't know what to do with you now. Don't know what to do about this. Something about your deliverance is making us uncomfortable. I always found that very interesting. But a beautiful lesson from the pastor there. I hope that you were blessed by that.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.